We're appreciative of the opportunity to come, Lord, in the temple you prepared for us, Lord. But it's not so much that, Father, though we're thankful for it. The Lord is being able to have your word come. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, the opportunity for you to reveal it to us, that we may draw closer to you, give our whole lives solely unto you. Lord, we're so appreciative. Asking, Lord, that you would bless everyone that's gathered here. Meet our individual needs. And Lord, as we look to you, we thank you. And ever want to be appreciative for what you've done and doing for us. Lord, may we never take it for granted. But Lord, it's your grace, your marvelous grace. And Lord, one day soon, Lord, we look forward to be able to go home and be with you throughout eternity. Oh, what a marvelous day that'll be, Lord. Have your way now, Lord, we ask in every phase as we turn it over to you. In your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise his holy name. Turn with me, if you would, page 294. Amen. It's too much to gain. Amen. Praise his holy name. Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. Too many tears. Have walked through. Saints, we've come too far to turn back. Amen. Keep your eye on the goal. Praise his holy name. Page 634. Amen. Praise his holy name. I'm in this church, saints. Part of that body of Christ. Amen. I'm in this church, this glorious church. Lord, I'm not joined, no. I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church, amen. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join. Get in. Amen. Little paper is a glorious church. Amen. Praise his holy name. Amen. Do you hear them coming, saints? Hallelujah.
Do you hear them coming, brother? Thronging up the streets of life.
Hallelujah.
Of the land. Oh, 'tis a glorious church without a spot.
so glad I'm part of that. Hallelujah. Page 628. Amen. I think that's right beside it there. Amen.
Soon and very soon, oh, we are going. Amen. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, oh, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Oh, no more crying there. Oh, we are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Oh, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, oh, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah.
About that, saints. Amen. Oh, it won't be long. So close. Amen. Everything's coming together, saints. Amen. Can't be too much longer. Praise his name. Brother Amos, would you like to come up? Amen. Praise his holy name. That's the blessing, if you will.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we are so thankful for this privilege you granted to us once again, Lord, to be here this morning. Lord, for the desire in our hearts, Lord, to draw closer to you. Lord, we pray that each heart and mind, Lord, will be in tune and centered upon your word, Lord, this morning. Lord, may it sink down deep in our hearts, Lord. Fall upon that good ground. We just commit all into thy hands, Lord. Bless the remainder of the service. Everything that's said and done, may it be for your glory. Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom is our prayer. We ask these things in my precious holy name. Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Sing the little chorus, "What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again." Amen.
What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a
Let's all stand if you would. We take a request to him. You have a need on your heart. Something that, amen, you want to take before Him. Just hold it on your heart as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly thankful. Lord, we sing these songs. Lord, it's just, Lord, just put such a rejoicing and a thanksgiving and looking forward. Lord, what you've done and what you've got prepared for us. Lord, and how we're getting more anxious to go home to be with you. Lord, the scripture says, those that are loving and longing your appearing, Lord, you come to. We thank you so much. Pray, Lord, now that these hands, the Father, that was raised, signifying needs on the people's heart. Lord, you know what the needs are. Father, you know the very root of the cause and everything about it, Lord, for your God. And Lord, that's why we can trust you.
Yes.
Lord, someone that don't understand or don't have revelation, Lord, may not understand, Father. Father, we can go through trials and temptations and tests with a smile. Lord, with joy in our hearts, though it may be hot. But Lord, we know who holds all things. And Father, we know all things work together for our good. Don't know why we may go through the valley, Lord, the test and the trials. But we know, Lord, it's for our good. And we thank you for it, Lord. Give us grace and strength to endure. Lord, heal every need, Lord. Whatever your will is in every heart and every life, meet it is our prayer. Lord, bless the word as it comes forth. Bless the brother that brings it. And Lord, may you just get the glory and honor and everything.
Yes.
We look to you. We ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. You may be seated. Praise his name. Did you have a song this morning, Karen? If you'd come.
Could stand and place his hand upon a holy God of heaven and a fallen sinful man, and could stand that deep mighty chasm which between sin had placed on the cross, hung the man who bridged the way. Oh, I love him. He is my everything. He's my life, my joy, my peace. He's all I need. For without him, so of all I do or say, I'll make him my theme. Have you ever stopped to think how it would be if God for one moment would live need him so. Where could we go without his grace? Oh, I love him. He is my everything. He's my life, my joy, my peace. He
so wonderful to think of the grace of God. At least to me it is. It's just so wonderful when I see the grace of God and what he's done in my life. I appreciate him. Amen. Brother Timothy, you have something to bring this morning. Let us all stand. Amen. Sing a little chorus. I love him as our precious brother comes forth this morning. I love him.
Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day that you've given us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, thank you for the desire that burns within our hearts.
Oh, thank you.
Lord, to be here this morning, Lord, to sing praises to you and
yes,
to just partake, Lord, of whatever you would have for us. And Lord, as we've gathered here, Lord, as we just pray that you'll bless your word, Lord, to our ears. Lord, it may just be a simple exhortation, but Lord, may we find something in it, Lord, to stir our hearts, Lord, to draw us ever closer to you. And Lord, let us climb another rung higher this day. Just have your way. And in the remainder of this service, we ask in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My, he's so good to us this morning. Amen. He's so good to me all the time. Amen. Just love him. While you're still standing, let's just turn our Bibles, if you would, to Romans, the 8th chapter. Read a very familiar scripture. It's read a lot. Just thinking on some of these things and thought we would read some of these scriptures and see if we can't take a little text from it this morning. But you know, it's just, I'm so glad that in his great mind, he thought of me. Amen. Yes. When he hung on that cross, as he spanned that great chasm, I was on that other side looking across. Amen. Here in Romans 8:28, if you would. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. My, sounds like he's done it all. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for it. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. My, he didn't leave much out right there. Hallelujah. When he predestinated and called, he took care of the situation then. Amen. You know, and oftentimes as we walk through life, we kind of forget that we're just here acting out a part. And it's already taken place back in time. Before there was ever a moon or a star, God seen you in his mind, and he saw that cross, he saw that blood, he saw your sins erased, and he saw us here today. At this junction in time that we stand today. And you know, as we often, sometimes the word predestinate, when you stop to think about it, you just stop and dwell on it for a little bit, and sometimes we just read over it, and it's, yeah, he predestinated me. But my, you know, let's turn back into the scriptures here for a little bit and look at some that was predestinated down through the ages. And let's go to the book of Joshua, if you would, to the first chapter. But you know, down through this Bible, we can go back now, and we're going to for just a moment and look at these men that God predestinated for a work at their time. And I just want you to notice as we go through this, their attitude and what took place in their life. You know, here we sit today, and each one of us is gathered in, and we've come here for the purpose that we're serving God.
Yes, amen.
But do I truly realize that I have been called for a purpose? Or am I just filling time, filling a seat? Time will go on, and you know, as you look at life, it seems like, you know, this year a baby's born, and maybe the baby's born this year in a family, and the grandparents pass away. And life just continues to rotate as a cycle, and it just keeps moving on down through time. And oftentimes it becomes that's our routine. I'm one of these days, I'm working for retirement, and I'm going to retire, and it's going to be gone, and this and that. But what is my purpose now? I may never live to see a retirement age. I may never live to see even see 40. I may never make that. But what of today, here as I am, as I feel in my heart this desire to come in this morning and to come in here and to worship and praise God? Am I just coming here just because it's another church day and I believe you ought to be in church on Sunday? Or is that drawled really down on the inside? There's something inside of me calling out, drawing me. There's something there for me to reach in whatever phase. And each of us are in different, you know, we each one gather here. Some of us are older, some of us are younger, but it doesn't matter. That draw is in our heart. Some of you may have had that draw for many, many years, but it's still there, just fresh today as it was maybe when you was 20 or 19 or whatever your age.
Yes.
But Maya, let's look here in the book of Joshua, and we realize God had called Moses, and Moses was on the scene, and God had took Moses. And then Joshua moved in to take the people over into the promised land. But listen, here in the first verse, he says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead, and now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon over unto the great river and the river Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper and whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, and be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And as the Lord spake to Joshua here, and you can go into this book of Joshua and you can read the whole book. And not one time will you see where he did not fail to keep that right there. And you know, as you back up there, he says, only where and he says, I will not fail thee. He says, but only be strong and very courageous, and observe to do according to all of the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. And my house, bring that over today. You absorb to do all that's been commanded us. You take this scripture. This is what this scripture was given for, was for inspiration, for leadership and guidance in this day. Amen. These men walked with God, but they didn't have God within them. He was above them, leading them and guiding them. But oh my, today he come down and housed himself within a people. Yes. Placed within them a desire, not just to be, but to long, to live exactly what he would want them to be. Amen. Wrote his word upon their heart and in their mind. Amen. That it was always with them. They didn't have to keep going back and trying to remember what was said, but he wrote it up in their heart and in their mind. Amen. And you know how... sometimes some people don't understand that. Like, how can that be? But you just get in a situation and you watch. It's just amazing how the Holy Spirit can just bring it right back to your mind. Amen. It never fails. You know, oftentimes we make promises and things, and sometimes they're so easily forgotten. Mm-hmm. But you know, a long time ago, it's been quite a few years ago, as I was out hunting and I shot a squirrel with a bow, and I shot it with an arrow and it didn't kill it right away. And that little squirrel suffered something terrible. And that really got to me. And as I was sitting there in that tree, I told the Lord, I said, I'll never shoot another one if you can just let that one die. Because I just couldn't take sitting there watching it. And you know, it's been many years. And every time I climb into a tree now when I'm hunting, and it's amazing how many squirrels will run right up there, and they just seem to be a nuisance to you while you're trying to hunt. But it never fails to come back to my mind. I promised I would never shoot another one with a bow. But that's the way it is. And I didn't take that lightly. That was a promise that I made. But you know how many times Satan's right there saying, oh, you could go ahead and shoot that one. You could kill that one. But that's not the point. I made a vow to God that I would honor. And I will not break that. And it's the Holy Spirit that keeps that fresh in there. That's something. And that's just a minor thing. But that goes with anything. When you set out and you make a vow to God with whatever, you better keep it and make sure you do all you can to make sure that you don't break it. Amen. But let's turn over here now. Let's go to Jeremiah as we look at this. But God predestinated Joshua for that job. And he called him and he told him and he lined him up. Yes. And gave him the word. And Joshua took off and he followed and obeyed. Mm-hmm. But now let's go to Jeremiah here and look at this. God speaking to another man he called. And I just picked a few out just to try to shorten it up. Here in Jeremiah, the first chapter, and we'll begin there at the fourth verse just to catch this. But he says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So just to prove to you that in the scriptures, God saw these men before they was ever formed in the mother's womb. God knew them, they was going to be here. And that same applies to me and you today. We're not exempt. God knew us. Amen. He's seen us in his mind and he called us. But each one of these, as he called them, I want you to look as they were predestinated for this job. And he's telling them here, I called you. Before I formed you, he told Jeremiah, he said, I ordained you to be a prophet. And Jeremiah, it was a reality to him. You can read the book of Jeremiah now and see those works take place in his life. That proves that he was that predestinated prophet for that time. Amen. You see it work right in line. Mm-hmm. But now let's go on over here to Luke, the first chapter, and look at another situation. But I want you to look at each one of these as they was called and chosen. and how that the response, you know, if someone walked up to you, you know, is like Jeremiah here, what if he'd have just heard a voice say, I've called you to be a prophet, but then his life never showed. He wouldn't have no circumstances to prove that.
Amen.
But his life began from that day forward to back up what God had spoke to him. And it began to show forth. Amen. But here in Luke, the first chapter, and that's about the 26th verse. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord. Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary just accepted the word of the Lord. There wasn't a fuss. You know, the scriptures just, she, as you go on down, she, be it unto me. And how that, if just think of a, put yourself in that position. You're 16 or however old she was here at this point, and someone tells you this. But why? God foreprepared the ground that was in her heart. Even though this sounded impossible, it had never happened before. And it sounded so impossible, and so maybe sounded really, really strange to her as a young girl here. But God had already predestinated her and got the ground ready in her heart that when the angel of the Lord came and spoke to her, why, there was something already placed inside to accept the word that had already come to her. And it wasn't a fuss, it wasn't a big ruckus, but it was, let it be to me according to thy will. It came. It wasn't, and you know, we look at that and we say, oh, well, that's just a story. It's not a story. That's the way that it happened. God would not have wrote it in here because he's his own interpreter, and that's what he said, and that's the way it is. Amen. But let's go over here now. Now we see Jesus came on the scene, and then this was when he was above men, and he was speaking lip to ear to his prophets. And then he sent an angel to Mary here, but then he came, and as he began to walk the shores of Galilee, let's turn over here to Mark, the first chapter. And just look at, just take these situations into consideration here now. Amen. Mark the first chapter. Mark 1 and 16. And he says, Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, now Jesus had already been walking along preaching. Things taking place, but he says, Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Two men doing their everyday life. Here they are, fishing, just doing their typical duties. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Just think of that, saints. It almost sounds impossible. Here's two men working, trying to make a living, doing their job. And Jesus walks by and he says, Come and follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And that's the same way today as you see the word speaking out. It's crying out. It's wanting someone to take up its cross and follow me. But as he spoke to these two men, why? They dropped what they were doing and took off after him. There was something already down inside. Yeah. All they heard, they seen him. They might have knew who he was, maybe from hearing talk. But he said, Come and follow me. And they left their nets. They left what they were doing. Forsook what they were doing and took off after him.
Amen.
And then he says here, And then as he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. These men, that call went out, and that respond in their heart, they just dropped what they were doing, and here they went.
Amen.
They took right off after what was speaking to their heart. But why? There was something formed in their heart. God had already seen him in his mind that that was going to be the ones he was going to use in this day.
Hallelujah.
In this certain age of time, he's seen him. And when he spoke to them, they responded to it just like that. And they took off and followed it. And you know, we can, over here in Mark, the second chapter, we'll just go ahead and read this one, 13th verse. And he says, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto them, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that we won't go on down there. But here he was again called, and he left what he was doing.
Amen.
Forsook what he had already known all of his life, and just left it there. And he began to follow Jesus. He took off and became a disciple. And there these men began to follow Jesus. Wherever he went, they ministered to him and took care of him. All the way up through till Jesus left, and then they went to Pentecost. But let's turn over here to Acts, the 9th chapter now. Look at another one here. Acts 9, and we'll begin at the first verse. Oop, I'm in Romans. Amen. Acts 9 and 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if they found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he sojourned, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. Now just think, here's Paul out here doing all he can to stop this religious movement that was taking place in the land of that day. He was doing what he thought with traditions and what he knew of the law. It was contrary to what he believed. And he was doing all he could to stop it. And fighting mightily against it, and a very well-trained man of the Jews at this time. But all of a sudden he says, as he sojourned, he came there, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. But here's this man, all he did, he come in contact with that light.
Amen.
He come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew. He could look back, he knew that the pillar of fire led those children of Israel out of Egypt.
Amen.
And he knew that. And when he saw that pillar of that light shine around, he knew, Lord, who art thou? And when the word began to speak, it was an instant change. It wasn't, well, you just wait. No. He went right down. He followed those instructions. At this time, I'm sure he still did not understand. But he followed those instructions of the Lord, and he moved, and he went right down to where he was supposed to be.
Yes.
And let's turn over here to Galatians 1:10 and catch something Paul said here after this happened. Amen. But each one of these, as the Spirit began to draw on their hearts and that call went out, you watch the response that took place in their life.
Amen.
Knowing Peter and Andrew and Levi and all of them began to follow Jesus, they probably didn't understand fully what was taking place.
Yeah.
In their mind, they was looking at that time, they were looking for someone to come on the scene and deliver Israel with a sword.
Yes.
And to totally clean up and to put them back in rule. But here he called to them, and something down on the inside, they couldn't help but respond to that.
Yes.
And here they went following him.
Amen.
And here's Paul coming down the road. He's bound determined he's going to stop this situation later. And the light shines around about him, and the Lord tells him what to do. And he goes down, and it's just he can't help himself. He's following exactly and follows right in with it.
Amen.
But here in Galatians 1, and begin at the 10th verse, Paul begins to explain a little bit of his way. He says it. Listen. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversations in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Amen. And when you feel that call in your heart and you draw, you can't go confer with flesh and blood. You can't find somebody else to talk to about it. There's only one person, that's you and God. The other people that has not felt that call will never understand what's taking place in your heart. They'll think you're crazy. What are you doing? They don't understand. But as Paul says here, I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He didn't go to somebody else that was already preaching this message now. He didn't go try to find out, you tell me how you see it and I'm going to follow that. You tell me what you believe and I'll just believe it like that. That's not what he did. But he said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him for 15 days. But of the other apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brothers. And now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Amen. But I want you to look, is Paul felt that calling in his heart? He didn't run to someone else to try to get it, but he went to God. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. But he went into a private, he went down into Arabia for 3 years. And Brother Branham explained that he went down there and got rid of all of his ideas, his traditions that he was so zealous of. The things he thought was so great and so important, he lost them. And God stripped him and he come out of there a different man. Amen. And he come out of there preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. The same. And you know, Brother Branham made the comment that it was like 15 years, he said, before. He says 3 years, he said it was 3 years that he went up. 3 years he went up to see Peter. But Brother Branham said when they met for the first time, they were preaching the same gospel. Amen. At the Jesus Christ. So be baptized and repent, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? That promise is unto you and to your children. Amen. It was the same. Why? It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it knows all things. It knows our hearts. Amen. It knows each one of us inside out. Amen. You know, as we was coming Thursday evening and the Holy Spirit began to speak, I got things out of that message. Many things. Just little things. You ask the Holy Spirit, you come in every service and you say, Lord, open my heart. And as the word begins to come, if you don't shut it off, but give God an opportunity to work with your heart, you'll see, you might see you need to climb a little higher than you thought you did. But you've got to be open to God and say, Lord, what is it you want from me? That's his Paul here. The light struck him down. He didn't get up trying to fight blindly, but no, he humbly laid there and said, Lord, what would you have me do? Amen. And that's in our spirit. Are we humble enough to let God have an opportunity? Amen. He predestinated. If you really see that you've been predestinated, that call in your heart, it won't fight. When the Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart, it'll give. And you'll see it just yield right down and let the Holy Spirit work. But if I'm wanting to fight it and buck it all the time, I better really find a prayer closet and begin to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what's wrong? But my, you just watch these predestinated seeds. You watch when that light at the right time, it struck it. It was just an automatic flowing in. As our brothers mentioned, the little woman at the well here not too long ago as he was ministering. You look at her. When the word came, she humbly, her sin was called out to her face. She was not hid no more. And today if someone calls out sin that's in our lives, we want to get upset. We want to get, oh, I don't know why he thinks someone's got a right to talk to me like that. But oh my, look at the work that it done. She humbly said, you're right. I'm wrong. I see that. And you know, that's when you look today, we just take us as message followers. We get up into church, and you know, it used to be when someone come in off of the street, it was drinking and carousing and all these things. And if you'd have walked into a church 50 years ago and you had that in your life, the preacher would have let you know when you walked through the door that needed to be straightened up. You needed to get rid of that. As Brother Smith used to say, they called him Sin Killing Smith, because why? He was so hard on those things. Straighten your life up as he come out of Pentecost. But today we want to come in, and if the preacher gets up and calls a little bit out of in our life, or it's not so much the preacher, it's the word. But when the word becomes, and we can't take it, then it's all. Don't be stepping on my toes. You ain't got to preach those kind of things. But that's what God is doing. That's how he said he would form that little bride. He conformed her. He predestinated her to be conformed to his image. But oh my, here in Romans, the 12th chapter, let's just read this. And this is the key. When you feel that precious Holy Spirit begin to move and deal with your heart, and you feel that draw, and you know something's different, and you feel that wooing in your heart, or the word's coming, and you see a higher height, and you see, just be humble to God. And I like, this is this Paul here in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For why? Because if I want to be conformed to this word, all the stuff the world has to offer me is not going to help me reach my goal. If I see I've been predestinated and called to be a servant or a son, a daughter of God, there's nothing in this world going to get me to that except this right here. Amen. This is the instruction that I need to be feeding on. This is the instruction that's going to make me overcome. This is the instruction that's going to break me that higher height in Christ. Maybe I don't have peace. This will get me the peace that I want. Amen. A peace that passes all understanding. When you lay down at night, you don't fret, you don't worry, you don't stew about things. And you realize that maybe tomorrow there's a bill that's due that you just don't have the money for today. And it's not your fault that you don't have the money. Maybe you just don't have it. Not that you wasted it, but you just don't have it. And that bill's due tomorrow. I don't worry and fret, how am I going to take care of this? But I've learned, I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand, and he said he would never leave me nor forsake us. And that goes for anyone that can look into this word and see that there's something pulling in their heart. And I realize, Lord, you're calling me to a purpose. Amen. And you, all you do is put your life in his hands, and he will make the way. He will take care of the rest. Amen. You know, you look at those disciples as they left their jobs, left what they were doing to follow Jesus Christ at that time. For the work they had. They couldn't, traveling all over the country, they probably couldn't hold a job. But God provided them. They never went hungry. They always seemed to have food and places to be. They, you know, when they needed a place to preach, there was a ship provided for him to be in. But look at these things, how God always provides. When you go back and start at the beginning, start in Genesis, and you begin to look at how God provided for everyone he called. For everyone he predestinated for a work, you watch how he just continually blessed and made the way for them to move forward. And they didn't have to worry and fret about it. But God made the way. And that's how it is. If you can just once relax and realize that God is in control. God has my life in his hands. Amen. He is leading me. He is guiding me. This draw I feel in my heart, this pull I feel, it's bigger than I am. It's more than I am. And when you begin to realize that that desire that's burning down inside is taking control of your maybe things you used to do before, you see less and less that doesn't mean as much. I don't care as much for that. And this doesn't hold the value that it used to. You know, you just see things fade away. And what becomes more important, you begin to see your life changing. And you see that starting to take place. Why? Because if there's a predestinated seed in there, it's already been predestinated to be conformed to this image, and it can't help itself. But when it hears that word, it becomes the word, and it's just automatic. It has to follow it. It can't help it. And it just moves right with it. Amen. You know, many times you may think in yourself, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get over. But it ain't how it works. You just watch God. He has a way of just moving it just the right direction when it needs to go. Amen. This is here in, Brother Brandon mentioned this. This is Things That Are True to Be, preached December 5th, 1965. Just like your birth here, you was prepared. God knew you would be here. And you know, even things your parent done, now people don't think that this is a visit from generation to generation, but it is. Over in the book of Hebrews, I believe about the 7th chapter, speaking, Paul, these writers, I believe it was speaking on a great event that taken place with Abraham, that he paid tithes to Melchizedek when he was returning from the slaughter of the king. And now he said, Levi was in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek coming from the slaughter of the kings. And then he reckoned that to Levi, paying tithes. And that's in the scripture. You can read it. Amen. Also, when he was in the loins of Abraham, his great-grandfather, and he visits the sins of people upon their children from generation to generation, that won't keep his words. You were all pre-planned by God, and nothing happens by chance with God. He knows all about it. It's all pre-planned, planned from many generations back so that you could be here tonight. Did you know that? Just think of that. You at one time was in your father, in the gene of your father. Now, he didn't know you at that time, neither did you know him. But you see, you were, let me just stop there. But he's back up here. He says, you were all pre-planned of God. Nothing happens by chance. He knows all things from many generations back so you could be here tonight. And saints, I want you to look at your life. Amen. And you look at circumstances that happens. And sometimes circumstances happen and we look at it and we're just, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe I'm having to go through this. You know, sometimes that's how we think of things. We look at it that way. Look, I've lost my job. This happened, that's happened. But God knew all along what you would need and how to get you to where he wanted you to be.
Amen.
You know, you take it, maybe when I was 18, I wouldn't have listened to God the way he wanted me to. But God knew the circumstances it would take to get me to that place to where I would listen to what he wanted me to listen to. And you know, is Brother Branimish and Brother Dow being 90? Why did God wait so long? But God knew, and it didn't matter. God used him to prove in this day that at 90 years old, a person could still serve the Lord Amen. With a joy in their heart and keep this word.
Amen.
And as old as at 90 years old, and with all the ailments I'm sure he had, he was a reflection of Jesus Christ for a 90-year-old person.
Yes.
And how about us as we each one are getting older and we age? And life's not as easy as it was maybe when I was younger because of ailments and this and things that happened. Do I still have a joy of the Lord and there's still a smile on my face?
Amen.
And I am still a reflection of Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
That I was sent here, no matter what my age. And that's why some of us are older and some of us are younger, but it doesn't matter. In each stage of life, God is proving that it don't matter
Amen.
Whether you're 10 or whether you're 100, he's still God.
Amen.
And his characteristics will still be the same
Amen.
In any born-again believer that's filled
Amen.
With the baptism
Amen.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The same sweetness, the same kindness, the same brotherly love.
Yeah.
Each one of those traits will be handed down. They're still there today, just the same. It don't matter your age.
Glory.
But it'll be a he is getting the glory, showing that it doesn't matter. He is God. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever he is, it will come right down the line. Amen. But that's why we're here today. Each one of us has been called to that purpose. That today God would receive glory and honor from your life. Not you, not who you are. I'm some religious person. No, that's not it. We're here that God would receive glory and honor. That he would receive the praise and the glory from our lives of whatever takes place. That it would be seen that he is the great, great I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But you know, this is something that happened in a prayer line. And I'm going to read this because I want you to see God is still the same. You know, and we know, I don't know, you know, I think say most of us has read where Brother Branham was called as a younger child. I'm not sure what age he was, but when the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, don't you ever drink smokes. Leave it alone. And he never did all of his life. But you know, as God was calling him at a young age for the work that he had while he was here. But I want you to look how the Holy Spirit works. Brother Branham was a man. But God enhoused himself in there in the gene of God, just the same as we are, and give him the gift of a prophet to go with it. He had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same as you and I do. But he had a calling in life, and God dealt with him. But here, this is E31 on the tape. We have found him, preached August 25th, 1954. And someone's come up in the prayer line now, and he says, how do you do, sir? Now, supposing you and I are strangers to each other, sir, we do not know one another. Only God knows us both, and he knowed you since you was before you was born. Before the world began, he knew you and knew that you would stand here tonight. God knew that, and he fed you all the food you ever eat. And we're perfect strangers to each other. Do you believe that you're in his presence? not your brother, but into his presence. You believe that he's able to tell me what you're here for, or something another that would help you. And is he standing here now? The Holy Spirit's beginning to move him into a vision. And he says, this man is going from me. Years ago, your trouble started. You probably look 15 years or more younger than you are now, and it's a nervous condition. You've been bothered with nerve trouble, and I see you can't sleep, and you're pacing around restless. It's a nerve cause. You don't know what it is. Doctors can't locate what it is. They don't know what it is. But here's what it is. As a child, you were playing near cellar steps, and you fell, and it put a vertebrae that's slightly out in the back. And there is your trouble. You didn't come from this city. You come from another city where there's a river or something. It's New Jersey. Camden, New Jersey. And your name is Frank. They call you Frank Sask. And you're healed, sir. Your faith has made you well. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be healed. Brother Branham didn't know that. But the Holy Spirit did. He saw that man. And this is after the fact. This is when he's years later. But why? Because God had already seen it in his mind before there was a moon or a star. He saw this. He sees what's going to happen. He knows what's happening to you. He's got you in the palm of his hand. He's holding you. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger's they won't follow. And no man will pluck them from my hand. Why? Because he predestinated you. Give you the desire to serve him. Anything that you do in life, anything you overcome, it's not what you've done. But it's the grace of God that he saw you before there was ever a moon or star. And he predestinated you. And place that desire down in your heart. And that's why I can sing that little song. I'm in this church. I didn't join. I didn't work into it. But by God's grace, he saw me in his mind. And he placed me in that church. And I'm just here acting out my part. And it's only by grace that I can see. I feel that call and that desire is pulling in my heart. It's only grace that I can come in here and have a desire to raise my hands and sing unto God. It's not to come here to see who's here or what I can talk to, but it's why there's something in my heart. If I'm the only one that gets to come in, then it's me that's going to raise my hand. It's me that's going to sing to the Lord. Why? Because he called me to this purpose. That in this day, this hour that we're living in, that I was one of them that he saw in his mind that would be standing here crying back grace for what he's done for me. And oh my, look down through your life. Some of us, we might have been older, we might have been younger, but it doesn't matter. When you truly recognize that God is calling you and drawed you to this purpose, why? At that point in your life, from then on, it's God, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. It's a praise from your heart. You don't have to praise him because somebody else is. But it comes from your inside. You don't have to follow a tradition of men. You don't come in and, well, everyone takes communion, so I take communion. Why? You do it out of an appreciation in your heart. And it's your desire. You're not living on somebody else's, but it's your challenge burning in your heart to follow the word of God. Amen. But without him, I am nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. But through him, I can do all things. Amen. But oh, he's so precious to us. Hallelujah. But mind you, just stop and dwell on that. You know, in this day, and the word comes, and I know people look at us and say, oh, you're old-fashioned because you women don't cut your hair, and your women wear long dresses, and you all are trying to be so modest, and you men don't cuss and drink, and you don't smoke, and you don't do this, and you won't get in with all the filthy jokes and this and that. I don't do that because I'm made to. I do that because I don't want to. Why? Because God called me for a different purpose. Yes. And it doesn't matter who talks about you. It don't matter what they try to say. When it's totally, when it becomes a walk between you and the Lord, it's totally your desire. And you can stand on your own feet. You don't have to stand, well, the church I'm going to believes it like this. No. It becomes, I stand this way because this is what I believe. Amen. This is what God has revealed to me. You can't, as Paul said, I didn't conjure with flesh and blood, but I went to the one that created me. Amen. Amen. You know, oh my, hallelujah. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments.
Gracious Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But he says, just notice how few, this is in Who Do You Say This Is, preached December 27, 1964. Just notice how few recognized him to be the anointed word of that day. See, God in the beginning, being infinite, knowed all things from the beginning. And the only thing that these things are is the display of his attributes. An attribute. You have an attribute. It's your thought. You think of something, then you speak it, and then you take it. That's God. In the beginning, if you ever was or ever will be in heaven, you was in heaven to start with. You're part of God. You were his thought. He knew your name. He knew who you were before there was ever a molecule, before there was a light, before there was anything. He knew you and your name, and he put it on the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was ever formed. See, you were his thought. And then you become a word, and a word is a thought expressed, and then you're manifested. And that's the way he was. He was in the beginning by himself. God dwelt alone with his thoughts, and he'll never do that again because his thoughts are being made manifest. Amen. Amen. And by grace, I see I'm one of them. Amen. Yes. And that's why we're here, right here this day, is God fellowshipping with his thoughts, being made manifest. See? There we are. So you, by taking thought, cannot add one cubit to your statue. You cannot do this, that, or the other. It's God that showeth mercy. And it's God. All the Father has given me will come to me. And no man can come to me except the Father draws him. And that settles it. And my, I thank God for the day I felt the drawing in my heart. The pull that drawed me to this. Not to be a member of a church. Not to be a following. But to be a son and daughter of Jesus Christ. To serve him. To live for him. That my life would reflect him in this day. And I pray that's the desire of each one sitting here today. But don't take it for granted if you feel that draw. Be thankful and be glad that you can see that God is dealing with your heart. And if he chastises us, then he deals with us as sons, not bastards. But oh, we ought to be so thankful for the grace and the mercy that he's shown unto us. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. And before our pastor comes, I believe it's on... We are standing on holy ground. Can we try to sing that? I'm not sure what... I looked it up earlier, and I don't remember what page it was on. 331, I think.
We are standing on holy ground. Let us pray.
just remember, saints, we've each been called here for a purpose. And our brother ministered on it not too long ago. But are we truly looking for what God has for us as individuals? Are each one of us really concerned? And do we each one really want to be what he would have us be? You know, as those disciples left and forsake all that they were doing to follow him. In this life, have I really forsaken everything to make sure that this is first in my life and this is what I want to be? This is what Jesus would have me be. But I pray that is our desire, and I pray each one of us, as it isn't, that it will become greater, and that will be our true hunger. As I'm not here just to live as an American citizen and just to be an American, and I thank God that we're here, and I thank God for the blessings he's given us. But I've been sent here and called for a higher purpose, and each one of us has. And may we truly give our lives to what God wants us to be. And may the Lord bless you. Amen.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that we are standing in your presence. We're standing on holy ground, Lord. And Father, to think, again, as we've said so many times and mentioned what the Scripture speaks, Lord, that you are the head of all things. And by you all things were created. And I guess, Lord, many times we just think about it as we think about it even now. You, the great eternal God, that by you all things do consist. You made everything, Lord, and to think that you are in our presence even now. And to think, Lord, that you put the draw within our hearts to draw us to you. You're the one that put the desire in our hearts to serve you and to love you and to obey you, Lord. You're the one that put in our hearts that if we do anything wrong, it just tears the heart out of us. Lord, we hate to do anything that's contrary to your word. We hate it, Lord, when we get caught into any kind of a trap whatsoever. It's you, Lord, that has placed that in our hearts. It's you that place it in our hearts and in our lives that when we hear the word, there's just something about it. It's just, amen. Amen. That's right. Oh God, how we see the grace and mercy in our lives. And we appreciate it, Lord. We don't ever want you to think that any time we don't appreciate it, but Lord, we appreciate it with all our hearts. And Lord, may our lives prove it. May our lives show you that we appreciate it. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us today, Lord, I'm sure each and every one of us have some kind of a need, Lord, of some sort. I'm truly believing, Lord, that every one of us have a spiritual need. Lord, we all need to climb higher in you. We all need to surrender greater to you, Lord. That, Father, people could see that you are alive. You're a living God. You are the same today as you was yesterday and shall be forever. We ask, Lord Jesus, at this time that you would meet that need in our lives. May each one of us be humble, Lord, and yielded to admit we do have your need, Lord. Oh, God, we need you. So bless us now, Father. And, Lord, again, we just want to, as a group of people here together, remember Sister Danielle's request. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll touch her precious little daddy, Lord. I believe it was her daddy, Lord, or mother, Lord. I don't know which one it was, but Father, you know who it is. I ask that you would touch the life of that person. Oh, God, if there's predestinated seed there, bring them in before it's too late. And I know, Lord, that's her desire, Lord. That's what she desires. So ask, Lord, that you'd bless her, comfort her, oh, God, and meet the need there that may be in their lives. Bless us now together. Bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. But, Lord, we know any time you could appear. Because, Lord, people will be doing the same thing that they're doing today when you appear. They're thinking that everything's okay. They'll be eating and drinking, giving in marriage, and all kinds of things, the cares of life taking place. And through right in the middle of all that, you're going to take your little bride home. But Lord, I trust you'll help us be ready. Oh God, work on our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we ask now, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for letting us feel your presence. Amen. We are standing on holy ground. Yes. And I know that there are angels all around. Hallelujah. God bless you. You're all dismissed. Amen. Thank you.